Philippians chapter number 2. Paul writing to the church at Philippi. Amen. Yeah, we had this a great idea in our men's prayer room tonight. Probably had nothing to do with prayer, but we had a good idea. Amen.
Right.
The women do all the good praying, and we have all the good ideas. Amen. Maybe y'all prayed for us to have a good idea. Amen. But we got talking about ice cream. What we do in our prayer room, amen. We got talking about it so much. Me and I looked at D'Angelo, I said, well, me and the deacon going to Dairy Queen tonight, y'all handle the service, amen. Nobody bid on that one, amen. So we're here. But what we thought was, how many of y'all know how to make homemade ice cream? Levi does. Anybody got a homemade ice cream, what do you call it?
Churner.
Who's got one? One, two, we got two. What we going to, three, four, can I get five? Five. I believe everything Sawyer says, amen. Y'all see that scar on his eye up there? Y'all know what happened? He got bit by a shark. Hey, it's worse than that in his living room. Man, but he punched it in the face after he got done. Ain't it right? Then took a picture of it, put it on his shirt. Look at him. He got evidence. Got the t-shirt, amen. That's what he did. But anyhow, what we thought was the next birthday fellowship on top of our cake, we'd have homemade ice cream. That sounded like a good idea, amen. I thought it was a good idea. And somebody said, we'll have it for vacation Bible school. Well, I said, well, we'll try it on birthday fellowship first and see how it goes. So we'll try to get together the stuff and make it happen. And I asked Danny Ray had the idea, and he don't even know how to make it. I told him, I said, well, just Google it on your phone. He said, man, my phone don't do no Googling, amen. He said, I got one of them dinosaur ones, amen. And we'll figure it out, amen. Philippians chapter number 2. So that's what we're going to try to do in our great idea. And great ideas like that, I believe you ought to have another one. Philippians chapter 2. Good to see Hayden tonight. I didn't know who that guy was. He coming up big old dark beard.
Yeah.
I said, come on. I said, dude, who was that? That's Hayden. I said, wow. I said, man. He said, man, I ain't seen you in a long time. He said, you got a whole lot more gray hair. I said, you got a whole lot more facial hair, amen. Look at me like that, amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. Paul said this. He said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Well, that's some good things to have, amen. Love, fellowship, mercies, consolation in Christ, comfort in love. He said, if you have it, he said, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind.
Yeah.
Paul talked about it to the Corinthian church, that there wouldn't be any schisms in the body. Love toward one another.
Right.
Brother Danny Wade, you've done a great devotion on that at our ball game the other day, yesterday. Amen. Verse number 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of what?
Others.
It makes this great spiel about how we ought to have love towards one another, be in the same mind one to another, esteeming others, putting others above us, and not having any vain glory. And then he gives an example in verse 5 through 11 of somebody that done it. And I would have to say, if he done it, well, we are surely without excuse.
Yeah, amen.
Because the example is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, God's never asked you to do something he wouldn't do.
Right.
I mean, love one to another, lowliness of mind, esteeming others,
right,
looking not on his own. Well, if anybody had a right to look on his own and esteem himself above others, it'd been God.
Yes, sure.
But look what he says, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hey, that was that mind that he spoke about and the mind he's about to speak about here. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God.
Right.
What did he do? Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, thank God he did, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, thank God for that.
Right.
Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Hey, what name is that? That's the name Jesus.
Yeah, right.
That's the name, according to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that all are saved by.
Right.
And neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Right.
That is the lovely name of Jesus.
Yeah,
and oh, what a lovely name.
Yeah.
And the songwriter sung about. Verse number 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't say work it in, because you can't work it in. God does it inside. We're to work what he put in there out. For it is God which worketh in you. See, we're to work out. He does the inward. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. Brother Nolan, pray for us tonight if you would, brother.
This Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for this opportunity to be in church, Lord.
Help us, Lord, yes.
Be with those that can't be here due to sicknesses, Lord, and be with each one of those that's on our prayer list, God. Just pray that you'd touch them in special ways that only you can. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you do for us. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. The book of Philippians has a lot to say about the way we think and our mind. There are two references to the word think. There are two references to the word like-minded. There's one reference to thinketh. There are two references to minded. Amen. And so on and so forth. But there's seven references to the mind. The mind. We'll run them real quick as a way of introduction. If you look in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, we see that we're to have a mind of the gospel, or be gospel-minded. Amen. The Bible said in Philippians 1 and 27, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. You know what the gospel of Christ is? It's the good news.
Yeah, right.
It's the glad tidings that Christ came to this world and died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day.
Right.
He said, let your conversation, that ought to be what we speak about, how we live our lives, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one what? Mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Amen. Hey, we ought to have a gospel mind. Hey, our mind ought to be on getting the gospel to the world.
Amen.
Getting it to your neighbor, getting it to a stranger, hey, spreading it around the world. Hey, we ought to be gospel minded. Amen. That if people are not born again and accept the gospel, the good news that Jesus died in their place, hell will be their home. We ought to keep a gospel mind.
Right.
Hey, not only should we have a gospel mind, but look at this in Philippians 2 and verse 2. He says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Not only should we have a gospel mind, we should have a unity mind. a mind that we are in this thing together.
Yeah.
No strife or vainglory, no fighting against one another, but in this thing together for the Lord. Look in verse 3, number 3. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So there should be a gospel mind that we have. There should be a unity mind that we have. But number 3, there should be an others first mind.
Yeah.
You know, it ain't about me and it ain't about you. It's about somebody else.
That's right.
And people have a problem with that kind of mindset. You know why? Because it's all about me. You know why you get offended? Because it's about you.
Yeah, right.
How can you offend anybody if it's not about them?
Right.
It's about somebody else. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, that mind to get the gospel to the world, don't get ever lose track of that mind. Don't lose track of having a unity mind of sticking out together, but never lose mind of others first. Amen. Hey, number 4, we should have a clean living mind. Look at Philippians 3 and verse 16. He says this, Philippians 3 and verse number 16. The Bible says, nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. In the context of that passage there, he's talking about a mind of living clean.
Yeah.
Hey, living right, amen. You ought to have a clean mind.
Yeah.
You know what's wrong with a lot of people? They got a filthy mind. You know why your mind's filthy? Because you put filthy things before your eyes. You put filthy things in your ear.
Yeah.
Amen. You hang around filthy stuff, amen. And which destroys the gospel mind, the unity mind, and the lowly mind, and others' mind. Hey, you ought to have a clean mind. Now you clean your mind by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
It'll cleanse your mind, amen. Plead the blood over it, amen. It'll clean the way you think. Amen. You know what the problem is? Hey, this fifth mention here, or, you know, there's another one I skipped, but I'm going back to it because that's the one I'm going to preach on. Hey, some people have an earthly mind.
Yeah.
Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 19. An earthly mind. He says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You know what we'd have to probably admit? Of all the minds that he describes that we ought to have in the book of Philippians, that's probably the one that we major on the most. I said we.
Yeah, right.
That goes from here all the way to the back, amen, and from the back all the way to the front, however way you want to look at it, from left to right. Hey, it shouldn't be so, but a lot of times we think more earthly than we do anything else. Amen. We shouldn't have an earthly mind. We shouldn't have our mind full of the filth of this old world, amen. Hey, we ought to have the right kind of mind. Hey, look in chapter 4 and verse number 2 and 3. Hey, you ought to have a laboring mind. Chapter 4 and verse number 2, he said, I beseech Eutychus and beseech Cynthia that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, helping those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Hey, that's a laboring mind. A mind that wants to get something done. A mind that goes to work. Amen. A mind that goes to work to get the gospel. A mind that goes to work to keep unity. A mind that puts others first, laboring. It's a work to keep it right.
Yeah.
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You got to work it.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, you know why? Because I get on your nerves and you get on my nerves.
Yeah.
You got to work on it. You got to work on it in your marriage. You got to work on it in your friendships. Hey, you got to keep that unity mind. Amen. Hey, and we need to lose that earthly mind and get a clean mind. But there's a mind that I mentioned that's in the text that we read. It's in chapter 2 and verse 5. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, apart from the earthly mind, the mind of Christ would line up with all these others, because God was all about getting the gospel out. God was about keeping unity in the right fashion. He was about putting others first. He was about living clean. He was about laboring. Hey, this is what we call, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. You know what the problem is when it comes to the mind of Christ and the few characteristics we'll look at tonight, and we'll go eat a hot dog and have a little time of fellowship tonight out in the fellowship hall. Hey, you know what the problem is? We have a problem having the mind of Christ because we have this mindset that's kind of overran our society in the last days. You know what it is? It's a selfish mind. Very selfish. Hold your place here in Philippians. We'll run this little reference and we'll go get right back into this thing. First Timothy chapter number 3. Amen. It's a very selfish mind. Amen. This world is full of their self. It's all about self in the world that we live in. This world's driven to put you first.
That's right.
That's the whole thinking of everything you watch on television. You know, enjoy yourself. Get what you want for yourself. Make it for yourself. It's all about self. Taking a selfie, you know. Yeah. Buying for yourself. Doing for yourself. Right. Hey, it ain't about ourselves. But that's the spirit of the Antichrist and the devil that's pumping down our throats through everything we see and everything we listen to. That's trying to make you be the one.
Yeah.
You ain't the one. He is the one.
Right.
And when you get his mind, this the mind that it's everybody else.
Yeah, amen.
But that's not the mind that's being pumped down our throat. Go get it for yourself. Look at this in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy. I said 1st, didn't I? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 is good too, but it just ain't going with the message. The Bible said, this know also that in the last days. How many of you agree we're there?
Yeah.
I mean, that's no doom days prophecy, but that's just reality. We're in the last days. I mean, y'all seen the mess going on in Israel over the weekend, didn't you? Iran shooting bombs at them. Hey, if you want to see what's going on in history, just watch Israel.
Yeah.
And them God's people, man. God's going to give them back their land. They fighting. Boy, it's just setting the stage is all it's doing. Hey, this know also in the last days perilous times shall come. What's going to happen when it gets there? Look at this. Men shall be lovers of their what? He didn't get out the gate real good talking about the last days. And he said men going to be lovers of themselves. Hey, it's me. I love myself. It's what I want. Hey, you know what they say? Hey, they shouldn't talk to me like that. You shouldn't treat me like that. You know why? Because it's me. Because I am the one. Hey, man. That's the makeup that we've taken into society. Hey, but that's not the makeup of Christianity.
Amen.
That is surely not the mind of Christ. If anybody had the right to show up on planet Earth and say, hey, boys, I'm here and it's about me. It was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yeah, right.
But he didn't live like that. He humbled himself and lived as a pauper, amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Born in a stable. It wasn't about him. He come to fulfill the will of the Father reach out to others.
Amen.
If you act like you're to be somebody, man, you're trying to put yourself above the Lord. Look, lovers of their own selves, covetous. What's that? That's what I want for myself. Boasters, what are you doing? Bragging on yourself. Proud, what's that? Pretty self-explanatory, ain't it? Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, yeah. Truth breakers, false accusers, hey, continent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, trady, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know what this is? That's a form of godliness. That's what they live and deny the power thereof. Amen. And you just go on, look back in Philippians chapter number 2. So you see the principle of the last days. It is everything but the mind of Christ. Do you know what the Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 5? Let this mind be in you. Did you catch the first two words? Let this. You know what that means? You got to allow it. You not only got to allow it, you kind of got to make it happen. You know why? Because the other mind's there naturally.
Right.
Proud, boasters, you know, self, me. That's the mind that the flesh takes on. Hey, you got to stop letting the flesh have its way and let this mind be in you.
Yeah, right.
Hey, stop letting you run with it and let God have it. Amen.
Yeah, right.
Hey, let this mind be in you. You got to allow it. Amen. Hey, don't stop it. Amen. Hey,
right.
If the Spirit of God's in you, it's leading you to let the mind of Christ be in you.
Right.
It's the flesh that's riling up and saying, no, it's me.
Yeah.
But the Spirit of God said, no, it's Him.
Yeah, amen.
You got to allow it to happen. You got to allow humility in you. Because the flesh says, I'm proud. You got to allow humbleness, amen. Because the flesh says, look at me. Amen. Hey, you got to let this mind. Don't stop it. Hey, this is not normal for the flesh. Never will be. The flesh does not like to take second fiddle to anybody.
Yeah, that's right.
Not at all. You got to let it. You got to allow it. So let me give you three things tonight on the mind of Christ. Number one, in the text here, the mind of Christ that you got to let in you, you got to let it have its way and say, no flesh, we are not retaliating. We are not doing it our way. It's not about us. Hey, we're going to let this mind be in us. Allow it to happen. Stop fighting it. You know, hey, the Spirit of God's saying, let it go. You got to let it be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. You know what it is? Number one, it's a humble mind. Humility. humbleness. He said in verse number 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That's pretty humble if you ask me.
Yeah.
Amen. He said in verse number 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. It's a humble mind. Amen. Hey, think about this. Dr. Ruttman said this about the humility of Christ. Listen to this. Hey, you're talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the humility of Christ means he had no pride in his birth. I mean, he's God. And he's born in a stable.
Yeah.
They could have rolled the red carpet out for him, man. Hey, the King is born. Amen. The angels rejoiced and shouted, amen. And the earth looked at him like, hey, he's just a child out of wedlock. That's humility of birth.
Right.
He was humble in his, he had no pride in his birth. He had no pride in his learning. You're talking about somebody you can't teach him nothing. He's God.
Yeah, right.
But you look at him, hey, who is this man? He's the carpenter's son. Mm-hmm. He's not had any learning. He had no pride in his learning. He had no pride in his looks, according to Isaiah 53:2. Hey, there's no comeliness. Nobody wants to look on him. He had no pride in his ability, and he was able to do it all. Amen. He made the world. He had no pride in his ability. He had no pride in his self-will. He had no pride in his intellect. He had no pride in his resentment. He had no pride in his sanctity. Hey, there was nobody like him, but he humbled himself.
Yeah, right.
You'd have thought, who is this guy? And he was God. It was a humble mind. Look in James chapter number 4. Hold your place here in Philippians. James chapter number 4. Hey, we need a humble mind. Humble ourselves. Amen. Hey, let the mind of humility in you. Amen. Hey, the flesh says, no, I'm not humbling to nothing. But the Spirit of God said, yes, you are. Amen. Hey, you got to let it happen. Amen. Let this mind of humility. The mind of Christ is a humble mind. James chapter number 4. Look in verse number 6. The Bible says, but he giveth more grace. I mean, who wants more grace?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but if you don't want yours, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I like grace.
Yeah.
Amen. I'd like your dose, my dose, and everybody else's dose.
Yeah.
Look at this. Now, how you get it? He says this. Look at this. You want it? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto what?
Humble.
You want more grace? You're going to have to let the mind of humility get in you.
Yeah.
What might be hindering the grace in your life might just possibly be the pride that's in your life.
Yeah, right.
Amen. He says he gives more grace to those that are humble. Submit yourselves, verse 7, therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You know what the devil says? No, you're proud. You're somebody. You got to resist that, but you'll never resist till you first submit. Amen. And he'll flee, draw nigh to God, verse 8. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God will lift you up. Hey, you know what he did to Jesus Christ? We'll see in just a minute. He got lifted up because he had a humble mind.
Yeah, right.
The mind of Christ is a humble mind. Hey, the mind of Christ, number 2, is a servant's mind. What can I do? Hey, you want the mind of Christ? It's going to be humble. It's going to be, old timers call it humble. Amen. You're going to have a humble mind. And God will give grace to that humility. Amen. Hey, but it's a servant's mind. Look in verse 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. It's a servant's mind. You know what a servant says? I'm just here to do what's my duty. It's just my reasonable service. You know? A mind of humility. It's a mind of doing what's right. Look in Luke chapter number 17. Luke 17. The mind of Christ is a humble mind, but it's a servant's mind. Amen. Hey, I'm just here to serve. I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve. You know what's wrong with a lot of people? They're supposed to be the one being served. No, I'm just here to serve, man. Hey, whatever I can do for my Lord. Amen. Hey, make me as one of thy hired servants, what the prodigal said when he came home. Amen. I'm just here to just do what my duty is. Look at this in Luke chapter number 17. Luke 17, verse number, look at verse 7. But Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by when he come from the field, go and sit down to meat? I mean, he's a servant. You got a servant? He works for you? You're going to say, hey, go sit down and eat? No, you know what you're going to tell the servant? Go in and fix me something to eat. Yeah, but he just got done working. Yeah, but it don't matter because he's a servant.
That's right.
He's not the owner. He's not the ranch handler. Hey, he's the servant, amen. Look what the Bible said in verse number 8. And will not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Why? Because he's a servant. Look at this in verse 9. Does he thank that servant because he did those things which commanded him? He said, I throw not. I mean, if he's a servant, when he comes in from laboring in the field, do you tell him to sit down and eat? No, you say, hey, you go fix me something to eat. Why? Because you're the servant. And when he goes and fixes something to eat, do you say thank you? Now, I'm not against being thankful, and I believe you ought to be thankful, but the principle is he's trying to show what a servant's mind is. Hey, that servant's going to go back and do it again, whether you say thank you or not. Why? Because that's his job.
Right.
That's what he's supposed to do. Hey, Jesus Christ came down from the Father to do the will of God. He made himself a servant. Hey, look what the Bible says in verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants. Look at this. You better get a hold of this. It wouldn't be a bad idea to highlight this, underline it, put a star beside it, put a note somewhere if you don't like writing in your Bible. Look what he says. We have done that which is our duty to do. You know what the servant says? That's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. Now, it's nice to be thankful. Everybody likes it. But you know what? When the dust is settled, when it's all said and done, you know what? That's what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Hey, the mind of Christ is a humble mind, but it's a servant's mind. It's a mind that says, hey, if there's a job, get it done. Whether anybody pats me on the back, whether anybody says thank you, it really doesn't matter. I have done that which is my duty to do. Hey, I'm telling you, you want to say something to change the mind of a church, change the mind of individuals? Hey, you humble yourself and say, hey, I don't deserve the goodness I've got. God's been better to me than I can ever imagine. Hey, I want the mind of Christ of humility, but I want the mind of Christ of being a servant.
Yeah, amen.
What can I do? I'm just a servant. The mind of Christ is a humble mind. It's a servant's mind. I know it's not popular, and that's why he said, remember, let this mind be in you. You got to allow that kind of mindset in.
Yeah.
Because every fiber of your flesh says, heck no.
Yeah.
There ain't no way. I'm going to do it and not somebody say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
Be a gentleman, hold the door while she walks in with her nose up in there, and you want. No, it's a lady. That's what you do.
Right.
Amen. Hey, it's just my job. That's what God called me to do. He said, let this mind be in you. You got to have a humble mind. It's a servant's mind. But thirdly, it's an obedient mind. An obedient mind. Look in verse number 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He had a humble mind, he had a servant's mind, but he had an obedient mind. Luke said it like this in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42 when he's in the garden and the Lord's praying to let this cup pass from me. But he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He said, I come to do the will of my Father. Hey, Jesus Christ had an obedient mind. Even if the obedience of his life, listen to this, caused suffering. And it did. He came obedient even unto the death of the cross. He was obedient and it was hurting him. How obedient will you be when it hurts?
Yeah, right.
The mind of Christ is a humble mind. It's a servant's mind, but it's an obedient mind. He came not to do his own, but the will of the Father. Amen. Hey, that is the mind of Christ. And if you have the mind of Christ, hey, God knows how to exalt you in due time. Remember what he said in the book of James? Hey, God knows how to lift you up. Look what he said in verse number 9. Hey, you know what? Hey, the mind of Christ is a humble mind. It's a servant's mind. It's an obedient mind. And if God wants you to be promoted, promotion is of the Lord. You ain't got to promote yourself. You ain't got to put yourself out there. Hey, you just take on the mind of Christ, and when God wants you to be promoted, God will promote you. Look what he said in verse number 9. Wherefore? Because of this. Wherefore? What's it there for? Right? He had the mind of Christ, wherefore God also have highly exalted him. Promotions of God. Hey, Christ had the humble mind. He had the servant's mind. He had the obedient mind. And in due time, the Father exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Yeah. And God exalted his Son when he had the right mind. Yeah. Promotion is from the Lord. And God will exalt you when it's time.
Yeah.
You ain't got to go around bragging on yourself. You just take on the mind of Christ.
Yeah, right.
Christ will do the promotion. It might not happen on this earth. It might not happen on that side. But what a great day it'll be. Hey, to stand before the Lord and he says, enter in thou good and faithful servant.
Yeah, amen.
I've been faithful over a few things. Make you ruler over men. Hey, what an entrance.
Yeah.
What an exhortation in God's time. Promotion is of God. We have to take on this mind of Christ. And because of what he did, he said in verse number 12 and 13 in closing, he says, wherefore? He said, this is the mind he had. That's the mind we are to let in us. Don't stop it. Allow it to come in. And God will exalt in due time as he did the Savior. And because he did it, wherefore, my beloved, As ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, that mind's in every one of us that are saved. Yep. It's the mind of Christ. You got to work it out. Work takes effort.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, to be humble, to serve because it's your duty, to be obedient, even if it causes suffering, amen, because of what Christ did for us, we are to do for him. You know, he's the best thing ever happened to us.
Amen.
If you are saved, it is our reasonable service to take on the mind of Christ.
Amen.
If you're here and you're lost, Jesus Christ humbled himself and died in your stead so you'd be saved.
Amen.
Nobody ever loved you like Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody. Amen. Why die and go to hell without Jesus Christ? Hey, them kids quoted just a minute ago. I know Evan quoted John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You talking about love? Amen. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know what God will do? God will save you. He'll save you forever. He didn't come to condemn. He don't want to condemn you. He wants to love you and save you. Amen. Christ had the right mind. May us as God's people take the mind of Christ and let it in us. Stop fighting. Stop allowing the flesh to have the upper hand and just say, hey, take the high road. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with God's people taking the high road? That's the Christian way, you know. I've done that which is my duty to do. Well, they ain't going to treat me like that, you know. Take the high road. Yeah, it ain't right. But you know what? Be the better one.
Right.
Now, hey, if anybody was the example, it was God. I mean, did they have a right to pluck his beard out? Did they have the right to beat him across the back with a cat of nine tails and drive a crown of thorns in his head? And the whole time he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You talking about the high road? That's the mind of Christ.
Amen.
That's the mind that this generation that we live in needs to see more of.
Amen.
They've seen enough of that strife and vainglory and proudness, pride and me and me and me, and we need to let the world see more of him.
Yeah, amen.
When the world sees Jesus, it makes a change. What did it say over there in the book? Sirs, we would see Jesus. When people see you, do they see Jesus? If they see Jesus, they're going to see somebody that has the mind of Christ. And that's a humble mind, a servant's mind, an obedient mind. Serving the Lord. Amen. Everybody stand. We got